So, hi, everybody. I don't remember everyone who was here last time and for who this would be their first time. So, last study, we considered what it was to be made a woman. I'm just going to rehash just a little bit of that here at the beginning. We considered that before creating the world, God planned that we were going to be created women. And he prepared good works for us to fulfill, specifically as women. We were made women with intention. We considered our position as women in God's hierarchical structure and our value being undiminished in being assigned a different position than men within that structure. And we considered our ultimate purpose, which is what seemed to really hit with ladies, that our ultimate purpose is not found in our various roles and areas of service, but our purpose is to know him and to become like him. Knowing God and becoming like his son is where creation and gender, hierarchy, and roles all function to facilitate the outworking of that overarching purpose for us as women. And this is the lens through which we should see the various providences in our lives as women, because those providences are working to accomplish that ultimate purpose for us. So wherever we find ourselves, single, married, married without children, married with children, single with children, hey Jamie, or widowed. We all sit here today with different backgrounds and different personalities, different status, if you will. And we all have different providences that God has designed with different variables in play that are used in specific ways in our lives. What we believe about God and who he is and what his purpose is for our life will affect the way we perceive life as we live it. The details of our lives are working toward the fulfillment of a plan that was set before the foundation of the world. The difficulties that arise inside of us and outside of us in our respective journeys are part of the process of change. They are a means to produce what God is committed to accomplishing in our lives as his children. So as I've been thinking over what I shared last month and what I knew I was going to be talking on today, it's caused me to examine the happenings in my own life recently and think, how do I apply the things I'm studying? So I wanted to give you somewhat short personal example from my own life. So over the last month, there have been very difficult conversations that have taken up my thoughts. There's been the day-to-day of living of life with four children, and that presents many joys and challenges. Challenges between siblings and challenges for me. There has been a surprise dead car battery for me when I was all alone at the gas station on my way to pick up a friend from the airport. There has been persistent sickness with one of my children. In fact, I was in the ER with her yesterday morning. And these various pressures have been punctuated by several unusual nights of our neighbors playing music, singing karaoke, and partying well into midnight right outside my bedroom window. And I've laid there in bed, and I've really had to try and think through, How is God changing me into greater spiritual maturity by my not being able to sleep due to being subjected to 70s disco bass lines that are carrying through my wall? What's he doing with this? How do we process the happenings of our lives? How do we respond to them? How should we respond to them? What are we learning? How do we see them? How ought we see them? And that brings us to what I wanted to focus our time on today, which is transformation. So I was going to give you guys the opportunity to throw out some verses. If anyone can think of verses that talk about being changed or being transformed, I'll give you a minute to think on that. If one comes to mind, you can just say it out loud. Here, I'll give you one to start with. How's that? While you're thinking. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. Romans 12:2. What does it say? Yeah. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's one of my verses for today. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Who's talking? Nina, is that you? No, that's Amy. Go. What does it say? Yeah. Anybody else? Working in us. Yep. Does anybody have another one they want to throw out? So, as I was thinking through transformation, scripture talks about the transformation of our bodies is one thing. Philippians 3:21, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, the consummation of our adoption is connected with the resurrection here. When we're raised, sorry, I said that in a really confusing way. Let me start again. The consummation of our adoption is connected with the resurrection when we will be raised with a spiritual body. So 1 Corinthians 15 talks about a spiritual body, and then I'm connecting that to Romans 8:23. That says, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Do you guys see the connection? I know I said that in a confusing way. Scripture also talks about transformation of the mind and the inner man. So, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And renewal is indicative of a complete change for the better, or changed into a new kind of life. We also have Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the transformation that occurs via the renewal of the mind really stands out to me. This verse affirms that we're changed by changing the way that we think. Romans 12:2 is saying, be changed by aligning your mind with what God says is truth. As we align our mind with truth, the outward expression of that follows. The renewing of the mind overflows into the transforming of our words and our actions. It changes the way we interact in relationships and changes the way in which we respond to situations and circumstances that we face. So, where do we fall when it comes to aligning our mind concerning what God says is good? What is good for us? Romans 8, 28 and 29 is kind of where we're going to anchor in. So if you guys want to turn there, you can. So just to make sense, a little bit more sense of what I said, I was just kind of showing scripture talks about transformation of the outer man and the inner man. But we're focusing on the inner man specifically. Outer man's futuristic, it's to come. Inner man is now. So Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. As I was reading over Romans 8, and I read through it a lot, it occurred to me that these two verses, 28 and 29, are surrounded by a lot of reassurance, empathy, and encouragement. We are reminded in this chapter what the gospel has accomplished and what it is accomplishing on our behalf. There is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. That itself was something motivated by love. Love for ones who didn't meet the conditions. We have the Spirit of God that dwells in us, and we are children of God, adopted, and if children, heirs. And even though we suffer and we live in a groaning world that's being subjected to futility, futility is like similar word usage as depravity. Even though we live in bodies that are dead because of sin, we have life in the Spirit and hope concerning the redemption of our bodies and even how that will impact creation itself. This chapter closes with a strong and tender declaration that whatever we face, distress, danger, death, life, things present, things to come, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These two verses are found in the midst of all of that and more, really. God in love determined his plan of redemption in love. And this element of our redemption, he planned before the foundation of the world. See how the here and now links up with eternity. It's just really neat. He predestined or predecided that as redeemed children of God, we would undergo a process that would work to produce Christ's likeness in us. We were destined to be conformed to the image of his son. And the word conform means to become similar in form, or nature, or character, to fashion oneself according to. The word illustrates a shift from one appearance to another, or from being one thing to becoming something different. Our character is being changed in appearance, less and less like the person we used to be, and more like Jesus Christ. Jonathan Edwards, in his sermon on the excellency of Christ, which is one of my favorite, he draws out that in Jesus we find condescension, grace, lowest humility, transcendent meekness, that's like above the range of normal, deepest reverence towards God, the greatest patience under sufferings of evil, an exceeding spirit of obedience, perfect resignation, and an entire trust and reliance on God. And Tim Keller said, specifically in connection with Jonathan Edwards' sermon, he said that Jesus combines high majesty with the greatest humility. He joins the strongest commitment to justice with astonishing mercy and grace. And he reveals a transcendent self-sufficiency and yet entire trust in and reliance upon his heavenly Father. We are surprised to see tenderness with confidence, unbending convictions, but complete approachability. His insistence on truth, but always bathed in love. His power without insensitivity. Integrity without rigidity. Passion without prejudice. Truth and love, both a passion for justice and a commitment to mercy, full of grace and truth. And of course, Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God, who is love. Love is patient, kind, does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it doesn't insist on its own way, it's not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. God is working the things that we face in this world to produce a transformation in us that reflects this love. And he's working all things, right? Romans 8:28, all things for that good. In other words, nothing is excluded. Our parents, our background, our roles, our jobs, our marriage, our children, our limitations, our church, all events that transpire in our relationships, all joys, all disappointments, all difficulties. God is producing change in us and using life and all its moving parts as a transformational process. We are being changed, and someone brought up this verse as well, maybe it was Amy, from one degree of glory to another. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. In the midst of life in a fallen, imperfect world, where everything, including us, is being touched by the effects of sin, out of the unpleasant, undesirable, and seeming unbearable circumstances that we face, God is perfecting us, transforming our inner man, fulfilling his eternal purpose. Now, if God uses all things, then he also uses encouragement and comfort. But largely in Scripture, we see God working through difficulty and trial. And transformation through those means is what I want to look at next. I was listening to a sermon, I don't know how long ago, probably well over a year ago, and I don't even remember what the sermon was about, but I remember this clearly. He said, church wasn't meant to be comfortable. It was meant to be transformational. Now, I know the verse about sanctification being God's will for me, and that God is making me more progressively like Jesus. But this specific phraseology, it resonated with me in a deep way. You can apply it to all things. Singleness wasn't meant to be comfortable. It was meant to be transformational. Marriage wasn't meant to be comfortable. It was meant to be transformational. Parenting wasn't meant to be comfortable. It was meant to be transformational. Life in this world wasn't meant to be comfortable. It was meant to be transformational. Paul Tripp says, he's my favorite. If you're serious about your life, whether you're a single person, or you're married, or you're a parent, or you're a worker, or you're a boss, no matter where you live in the world, you'll have to say, my life hasn't been comfortable. We're always dealing with things that if we were in control, we would never have written into our story. So, if the goal of God is to deliver to us our definition of comfort, he's a massive failure. He's not trustworthy because he doesn't keep his promises. And so what the Bible confronts us with is that life between the already of our conversion and the not yet of our homegoing wasn't intended by God to be comfortable. It was intended to be transformational because that's what we need. So, he's going to use the uncomfortable things of life to expose me and to transform me, and that's the journey. And God will offset difficulty with measures of comfort and encouragement, right? He's the God of all comfort and encouragement. He sends that comfort and encouragement our way through his word and through people and things he knows we enjoy. He brings little reprieves and measures of relief along the way. He proves his word and his own character true. He is our strength and help, shield and a hiding place, a rock of refuge, faithful to never leave and to be with us wherever we go. And oftentimes we go through the fire. I think Isaiah 43 says he will be with us in the fire. Peter calls trials specifically fiery and tells us not to be surprised. You know, it seems fair to conclude that if he says that we shouldn't be surprised, we must tend to find ourselves surprised when they come to us. Like the nature of them, the particular format in which they come kind of catches us off guard, and it does to a degree bring an element of shock or surprise. And burns are painful, and pain is unpleasant, and we want it to stop because it doesn't feel good. It's uncomfortable. At times, almost unbearable. The Bible says it was through what Christ suffered that he learned obedience. Difficulties test our confessional theology. You know, what we say we believe. It tests the reality of that in us and it develops it. So we are learning patience and obedience through these things. Our faith is being tested and established. Our endurance is being fueled. We're growing, little by little, as it may seem, right? We're being transformed by the things we wish would go away, or in some cases, the absence of the very thing we desire. Good things we may desire, companionship, children, sleep, order, health. We're being transformed little by little, as it may seem. by conversations and interactions that feel unpleasant. Difficult days with children where we keep failing to walk in love. We are being transformed little by little, as it may seem, through loneliness, loss, change. Those paths that we would rather not walk show us who He is as He walks with us there, faithful. That particular thing, you know what it is, whatever it is, however not ideal, however frustrating, unfair, legitimate, sad, hurtful, discouraging, overwhelming, challenging, God is using that. That specific thing is not wasted. God is using it to show you who He is, to make you more like Jesus. Because of God's love for us, the pain of our experience is not without purpose. Grace is accomplishing something. And we can feel like everything is falling apart, and it might be. But God, who holds the earth's pillars steady, He's working everything in our lives for a glorious purpose. Glory that is yet to be revealed. And this reality of God using all things for the good of changing our inner man into something eternally beautiful gives us comfort, right? The God who allows pain doesn't allow it just to wound for the sake of it, but to produce in me something I really need, something I need more than whatever it was that I was desiring. We are transformed from one degree of glory to another by beholding Him as He reveals Himself to us in favored hours, but sometimes most especially in our darkest hours. And those times tend to have, mixed with the sorrow, this strange preciousness about them as you look back. And I think it's because we've experienced the faithfulness of God in it. God was there with us, and we're the better for our having beheld Him there, and we're the better for how that beholding of Him changed us. We've had a tangible taste of some of the good that He brings forth from all things. You know, this world is, it's an interesting place. Like, time is a strange thing. It can go really fast and it can feel really slow. And days are full of evil and trouble and beauty and wonder. They're filled with terrible pain and immense consolation. The sorrow and challenges can feel deep and encompassing, and yet light and momentary. Guys, we really aren't here for very long. We're not. There is something glorious at work in every moment. And it's easy to forget that. We get caught up in the moments that are repetitive and frustrating and ordinary. But here's the wonder. Here's the wonder. Even though we live in a fallen world and we experience the effects of sin and death, God takes these experiences and He determines that those very things will work to transform us into something glorious. He takes the sorrow and the unbearable and He upholds us and He shows Himself faithful. He shows Himself strong and compassionate. And somehow He brings out of the darkness of it all light. with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we're being changed. That's all I got today. Would a couple of sisters like to pray? Lord, I just thank you for the little glimpses of reality that you give us and your great love, which we don't understand. We know it a little bit, but not the way we will know it. But we thank you, Lord, for saving us and giving us life and giving us this experience of what it is to be really alive and growing and in wonder and knowledge and growing in relationship with you. And it really is a journey, Lord, and we do ask that you'd strengthen us in our inner being with power through your Spirit for all endurance, with patience and joy and thankfulness, that you would hold us steady, Lord, when we feel that sense of everything falling apart around us. And we are truly anchored in with you. And I pray that you'd give us that grace to keep our eyes where they ought to be. And when our eyes move, Lord, help us to remind us, draw our eyes back up where they should be. I'm going to pray for you to continue your good work in us. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Does anyone have any questions? It's okay if there aren't any. Just thought I'd check. Going once. Yeah. So the question was, what would you say about times when you feel like you aren't growing and aren't being changed? I would say Psalm 1, that a tree bears fruit in its season. It's not like we always feel fruitful. You got pruning going on. Those branches are gone. Gone branches aren't bearing fruit at that moment in that sense, but they do bear more fruit. So that's what my answer would be, I guess. Someone in its season. But there's always, God's always at work. Just because we don't have that sense of being grown right then or fruitful doesn't mean God is not accomplishing things that we aren't conscious of. You know, I don't know that we're aware of much that he's really doing when it's happening. It's like this unseen work in our character is deep. Like sometimes we see the fruit of that as it comes out and we say, oh, wow, I used to respond so angry back then. Suddenly years down the road, wow, I find myself responding different, but I wasn't necessarily conscious of it along the way per se. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. Does that answer sufficient? Yeah. And small change is real change. So little things count. Little steps. Little things. Still legitimate. It's change. God's faithful. He's always at work. Any other questions? All right. If you ladies want to talk, again, there's no rush to leave the building.